Welcome aboard the Fourth Watch, which is a series of podcasts sponsored by the good people at the Fair Group, which is now called Fair Mormon, of which I, Ned Scarsbrick, your host, am a volunteer. This podcast is based on an article by Robert Kirby, who was a columnist for the Salt Lake Tribune newspaper, headquartered in Salt Lake City, Utah. Brother Kirby was also a speaker at the Fair Mormon Annual Conference this past August. By the way, the views and opinions expressed in this podcast may not represent, reflect, or even resemble those of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints or that of the Fair Mormon leadership. Or they might, so keep listening and decide for yourself. The article referred to in the Salt Lake Tribune by Robert Kirby is authorized by him being the author and was originally posted on November 7th, 2013. The title of this article that I'm going to address is called Too Serious or Not Serious Enough, and is designed to represent how we see the world in relationship to our God, our family, friends, and the rest of the planet's inhabitants. The history of this article goes back a few months when the Curb was released from his church calling, not for anything that was out of line, at least I don't think so. For those who may not be familiar with our good brother Bob, he is what some would call colorful. Others might use terms of a less endearing nature, but I like the Curb. Kind of reminds me of myself, and therefore he must be a good guy. So when we talk about how serious are we about the gospel, how much serious is enough? What could be more serious? We're not just talking about life and death here. We're talking about eternal life and death. What could be more serious than that? I, for one, take the gospel of Jesus Christ very serious. Myself, not so much. Sometimes we can confuse the two. Here is where Kirby's article comes into play. Last week, I received more than a dozen offers to be a Relief Society president, including one each from Australia, England, Canada, France, and two from my own Mormon stake. There were complaints, of course. Not everybody found it amusing that a guy would solicit the job as head of an LDS women's organization. It was highly irreverent. God will not be mocked. Do you even know what light-minded means? Yeah, I do. In the religious sense, light-minded refers to a lack of seriousness regarding sacred things. It's a Class C church misdemeanor in modern Mormonism. Rude, but generally not something that requires forcible eviction from the church. Light-mindedness was probably a felony during Brigham Young's day, back when he announced, "I have seldom laughed aloud in the last 20 or 30 years without regretting it. And I always blush for those who laugh aloud without meaning." Journal of Discourses, look it up. Brigham Young was not, as photographs further suggest, a man given to much hilarity. Had I written the things that I write now, not only would I have been thrown out of the church, but it probably would have involved a cliff and or a shotgun. I added the last item. Human behavior, including behavior regarding sacred things, is rife with a need for wry commentary. That's because even things that come from above have to be put into practice by human beings, and we rarely do as good a job as we think we do. Here's the part that gets a little fuzzy. If it's possible to not be serious enough about something, is it also possible to be too serious about it? And which is worse? I guess it probably depends on your personality. It's all about realizing that you're doing it, and it seems the straight-laced and puritanical rarely see it. If someone can admit to being a bit too light-minded, can a person admit to being a overstuffed prig? Uh-oh, this sounds like a job for the Diction Police.
Whenever the laws of any state are broken, the duly authorized organization
swings into action. It may be the assault librarians, the English commando teachers, or The Diction Police.
What did he say, Frank?
Sounded like he called us pigs, but had a diction problem and called us prigs instead.
All right, Mormon. What do you have to say for yourself? And remember, we don't coddle your kind. The word from Kirby's article is prig, not pig. It's not a diction issue. It's a definition issue.
Is that right? Well, what's a prig, Mormon?
I'm glad you asked. I just happen to have it right here, because I didn't know what it was either. A prig is a person who shows an inordinately zealous approach to matters of form and propriety, especially where the prig has the ability to show superior knowledge to those who don't know the protocol. They see little need to consider the feelings or intentions of others, relying instead on established order and rigid rules to resolve all questions. The prig approaches social interactions with a strong sense of self-righteousness. A prig is a believer in red tape. That is, he exalts the method above the work done. A prig, like the Pharisees, say, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, except that he often substitutes self for God. Prig is wise beyond his years in all things that don't matter. A prig might refer to Frank and Jake or the Diction Police as liars. You know,
what did you say, Mormon?
It's an FLA, you know, a four-letter acronym for low information, ignorant rednecks.
Well, looks like we're going to have to take care of this one the old-fashioned way.
Well, let's just hold on a minute here, boys. We just went from trying to understand what somebody said and perhaps what they meant to, this is war. One more thought here, and I'll get back to Kirby's article. All of this reminds me of a quote from Sir Walter Scott. 1 hour of life lived to the full with glorious action and filled with noble risk is worth years of the standard observances of paltry decorum. I agree. Life happens out in the field, not in some meeting. So much for the prig. Don't be one. Now, back to Kirby's article. Overstuffed prig. Well, I guess it's a fair question given that much of the religious excess in the world has been driven by those who take themselves and their sacred stuff way too seriously. You don't see comedians setting off car bombs, building armed compounds, or massacring immigrants. Granted, those are extreme examples and too serious. On a less drastic level, we should probably consider the injurious effect being too serious has on those around us, like our family and friends. It might be interesting to know what's worse for good fellowship: trivializing gospel conformity or making it the thing that serious matters the most. After all, an inability to laugh at one's own understanding and behavior rarely invites close attention. It would be okay, I suppose, if being too serious was simply a personal matter. Unfortunately, it's far too often parlayed into how we treat one another. That's the point here, as far as I'm concerned. Are those of another faith deserving of less respect because of their faith? What about those who are just different from your standard and average member? What if we treat everyone with the same respect?
I like it, Mormon. Keep reading.
What if the first thing you notice about a young woman in church is that she is showing more bare shoulder than she should, rather than the fact that she even showed up at all? There's a chance you're a prude. And because prudes rarely recognize being such, you probably won't be careful about what you do and say. I readily admit to being light-minded. I would only argue about what exactly that is. There are sacred things that need to be kept sacred and not mocked. But you are not one of them, and neither am I. So, as we go forth upon the waters of life amidst the waves and storms that are sure to come, let's look to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, for our example. Officer of the Watch, post the Navy hymn, sung by Sandra Schmidt, Bonnie Scarsbrick, Stephen Hatch, and David Reese. Eternal Father, strong to save.